We receive letters. We receive contacts, via phone or email, regular postal mail. And some of the mail, some of the contacts that we have are from those that are studying deeply into Yahweh's Word. Very insightful. And I want to ask you a question. Did you know that the curses mentioned in Scripture are progressive in nature? That is, they systematically get worse in intensity and volume. This going back to Leviticus. Today I would like to talk to you today about national chastisements. And we understand that Yahweh's word is a warning for us. And these national chastisements are a warning for us today. I'd like to read a letter to you that came in, and I'd also like to reference the scriptures that came along with it. The letter is from an individual who has some time because he's in prison. And, sometimes we hit rock bottom before we are called, before we are given the opportunity to really understand. And Yahweh does call us where we're at, even if that place is in jail. The letter starts out saying, "Greetings in the holy and majestic name of our Messiah, Yahshua. Grace be to you and peace from Yahweh the Father and from our Master Yahshua the Messiah. I come seeking your assistance on a study that I started and I have had difficulty completing. The study centers on the national chastisements detailed in Leviticus chapter 26, beginning in verse 14. Almighty Yahweh said, if Israel does not obey his commandments, his chastisement will begin with, and it starts in verse 16 of Leviticus chapter 26. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning Og, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it basically means fever, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. He goes on to say, I see this fulfillment in Judges chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Says, the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of Yahweh was against them, for evil, for bad, as Yahweh had spoken and as Yahweh had sworn to them. So they were severely distressed. Letter goes on saying, then since Israel didn't repent, he said that he would bring the second chastisement described in verses 18 through 20, which says of Leviticus 26, if also after these things you do not obey me, if after this, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze. Basically a Hebrew idiom for I'm going to dry out the moisture. I'm going to make it a severe drought for you. Verse 20, your strength will be spent uselessly, for your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not yield their fruit. Now this happened recently even to us. Not that we're being chastised, but this weather is very unusual. This year we had a soaking, and then we got a scorching. It went from soaking to scorching. I mean, everything dried out, and it got extremely hot. And there are still temperatures up over 100 in this country. But our garden has not produced. We replanted, didn't produce. I think there might be one tomato out there. There might be one small corn on the cob, and that's it. So when Yahweh says that, he can do these things, I mean, he's in control of the weather, and he can certainly make things bad. But the letter goes on to to say, I attribute the fulfillment to 1 Kings 17 and verse 1. Let's go there. 1 Kings 17:1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As Yahweh the El of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Same thing can happen today. He also brings up 1 Kings 18:1 through 2. Now it happened after many days that the word of Yahweh came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Remember, this is against Israel. Israel is in Samaria, the Samaritans. There's a connection there. But concerning the third chastisement, the letter goes on, verses 21 through 22, which says, "If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you 7 times according to your sins. I will let loose among you the beast of the field, which will bereave you of your children and destroy your cattle and reduce your number so that the roads lie deserted." And the fourth chastisement, verses 23 through 26, is brought up. Leviticus 26, 23 through 26. "And if by these things you are not turned to me, but act with hostility against me, even still, then I will act with hostility against you, and I, even I, will strike you 7 times for your sins. I will also bring upon you the sword, which will execute vengeance for the covenant. And when you gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you, so that you shall be delivered into enemy hands. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread in rationed amounts, so that you will eat and not be satisfied." Terrible. Terrible chastisement. The letter goes on, "I see no biblical correlation, but must assume that Israel still refused to repent and were chastised because of the final chastisement was dispersion." Verses, let's go 34 through 39, Leviticus 26, 27 through 33, and we'll eventually go through 39. "Yet if in spite of all this you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me." So these are progressive. They're getting worse and worse and worse. How bad can it get? It says, "Then I will act with wrathful hostility against you, and I, even I, will punish you 7 times for your sins. Further, you will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters you will eat." Did you know that happened? That did happen. It happened to Judah. "I will then will destroy your high places and cut down your increase, our incense altars, and heap your remains on the remains of your idols. For my soul shall abhor you. I will lay waste your cities as well." What have we read in Daniel? The cities are going to be laid waste in the future. "I will lay waste your cities as well and make your sanctuaries desolate, and I will not smell your soothing aromas. I will make the land desolate so that your enemies who settle in it will be appalled over it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations. I will draw out a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste." Leviticus 26, 34 through 39, it continues. "Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths." What was the timing of Judah in captivity? It happened to Israel, the northern tribes as well. "The land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation it will observe the rest which it did not observe on your Sabbaths while you were living on it. As for those of you who may be left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the hands or in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a driven leaf will chase them, and even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as from the sword, and they will fall. They will therefore stumble over each other as if running from the sword, although no one is pursuing, and you will have no strength to stand up before your enemies. But you will perish among the nations, and your enemies' land will consume you. so that of you who may be left will rot away because of their iniquity in the lands of your enemies, and also because of the iniquities of their forefathers, they will rot away with them. So, it's amazing. But Yahweh has the right. He created us. The letter continues, do you have any publications correlating each chastisement with their fulfillments? And would they likewise be our chastisements if we disobey? I look forward to your response. And then he ends with number 6, 25 through 26. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. The Aaronic blessing. I can really appreciate letters like this that come in because the person is studying and has a good grasp on Yahweh's word. And he's still humble in admitting that he has more to learn. And I think we are all there. None of us are perfect. None of us are full in the sense of all knowledge or of all truth. We're still learning. My response to him was this, in writing back to him. Greetings in the esteemed and only name of Yahweh. Thank you for the letter and questions relating to the national chastisements detailed in Leviticus 26, beginning with verse 14. We do see parallels in Scripture that relate the fact that Yahweh does not change. While there is a deepening of the curses found anciently, it is the same at the end of the age. The tribulation is noted as a general pouring out of wrath than what is found in the day of Yahweh, a climactic end, possibly 3.5 years in length. To separate the two is difficult because one can refer to the other in general. There is also a noted progression of the severity one can see, just like the curses of Leviticus, in which Leviticus describes. Parallels of punishment Yahweh has designated cannot be ignored. For example, in Matthew chapter 24, we were just talking about this earlier at the table. Yahshua explains that there is initial trouble. Whose trouble? Jacob's trouble, interestingly enough. But then there is a second stage, which things get worse. This is even similar to the plagues put on Egypt, which got progressively worse, with even the Israelites suffering through the first of them in the land of Goshen. But then Yahweh, of course, made that separation distinction, clean versus unclean. But the letter back to him continues, it's noteworthy that the same is expected to happen with Yahweh's people at the end of the age. Notice when the fifth trumpet blast sounds, Yahweh's people are protected. Also proves there is no pre-trib rapture. The new covenant agreement we are in through the Messiah today can be broken individually. Just as ancient Israel did with Yahweh. The individuals that are removed from the book of life today will also suffer the full wrath if they are living at the same time it is poured out. Ultimately, they will have their end in a second death called the lake of fire. While Yahweh is merciful and long-suffering, we can test him to the point of no return with willful sins. And it's a warning for us not to test Yahweh. But just consider the children of Israel in the wilderness with their complaints and disobedience, which was equated as unbelief. It's just another parallel we see. Hope this addresses the question you've had on the subject. Currently, we don't have much written on the subject. Wish you were here for the Bible studies. Keep up the good studies. And I'm sure that, because I spent more time in responding to that letter that he sent, and I do want to take some extra time here to go over some things. First, I should mention that I'm not sure if the national chastisements, which this individual brings up, are the only ones, and I think he admittedly states the same. But certainly Yahweh has, out of love, punished Israel in the past a number of times, and it was for a purpose. It was so that they would turn back to him, that they would repent. And the message is similar for us today. Secondly, why is it called Jacob's trouble when Scripture talks about the beginning of the tribulation at the end of the age? Isn't it because of the fact that Yahweh is still working with Israel? And yet you hear about this dispensation and a new age, and Yahweh is not working with ancient Israel anymore. Ancient Israel, with Israel, period. But he is. We had an individual come here, first-time visitor, looked around and was asking some questions. One of the questions that he asked is Yahweh a racist? And I said, well, no. But in thinking about it, I should have said, yes, he is for the human race. He's for all of us. And just as Elder John brought out in the scripture reading today, even Rahab the harlot, who was a liar, who turned and started doing what was right in Yahweh's sight, is expected to be brought into the coming kingdom, as I understand it. She protected Yahweh's people, and she'll be blessed because of it. She was blessed because of it. Exodus 15, verse 26. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I put upon the Egyptians, for I, Yahweh, am your healer. Why did Yahweh put diseases on Egypt? Because they didn't listen to him. They could have stopped it right there with the initial request of Moses on behalf of Yahweh to let the people go. Didn't happen, so Yahweh poured out wrath. Still, some Egyptians came out of Egypt with Israel to join themselves with Israel. So even other nations, if they will do Yahweh's will, what we've heard with Rahab, can be spared punishment and actually come into the coming kingdom of Yahweh to live according to Yahweh's ways. And believe me, his ways are going to be there. Scripture tells us that the law is going to go forth. People are going to be learning. They're going to learn to walk uprightly and be a better people, the people that Yahweh desires to have them be. There are some, however, whose character will not change and ultimately, evidently, will refuse to humble themselves before Yahweh to obey him or to honor even his chosen people. Obadiah chapter 10, verse 10, actually it's only one chapter, the book of Obadiah. But it says, because of violence to your brother Jacob, speaking of Edom, you will be covered with shame and you will be cut off forever. Wow, cut off forever. Doesn't seem like a lot of wiggle room. And Yahweh knows the end from the beginning. So he knows what their character is like. And yet they still have the ability to come out and serve Yahweh if they will. But it doesn't look like many will. Who is against Israel today? Who speaks and acts against the Jews? What is the Arab uprising all about in the Middle East? And what effect will it have on the nation called Israel today? What effect will it have on America? Who are fighting against Americans today? Where are we in the world? And who is shooting at us? Do roadside bombs count as violence? Anti-American, anti-European, anti-Jewish protests and propaganda. Is that not verbal violence provoking physical violence? Obadiah verses 15 through 18. For the day of Yahweh draws near on all the nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. You've heard, you know, those that bless Israel will be blessed. Just the opposite is true for those that curse Israel. Obadiah 15 through 18. Your dealings will return on your own head. Because just as you drank on my holy mount, all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and swallow and become as if they had never existed. But on Mount Zion there will be those who escape, and it will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau will be a stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor in the house of Esau. For Yahweh has spoken. And when Yahweh speaks, when he has spoken, we had better listen. Israel will set Esau on fire and consume them. Can that be? Is that possible? Is this symbolic, figurative, literal, maybe both? Before that time occurs, the time of Jacob's trouble may just be around the corner for us. In the meantime, we're told not to detest Edom, which is Esau. Deuteronomy 23, 7 through 8. You shall not detest an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not detest an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. The son of the third generation who are born to them may enter the assembly of Yahweh. Amazing. Interesting. There are evidently a number of Egyptians who will accept Yahweh and his ways, so much so that Yahweh says that the Egyptians, they are called his people. Again, Yahweh is for the human race, those who will humbly submit to his ways of doing things. And being the creator of all mankind, he has the right to demand it. If people don't obey, he has a responsibility to discipline and punish. And again, it is not, or is it not done for a purpose? But Yahweh really is for a chosen people, Israel, that came through the line of Isaac in which promises were made. Yahweh has been dealing with them ever since. And that was the plan from the beginning. It was Yahweh's plan. And we can be a part of it, whether we're a part of Israel lineage or not. And that's the message in the Bible. And those that ask, they seek, they knock, the door will be open. Amos 4:6, and speaking of how Yahweh has dealt with Israel. But I gave you also cleanliness of teeth in all of your cities, basically Hebrew idiom for, you know, famine, and lack of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned to me, declares Yahweh. And what is the purpose for punishment? What is the purpose for discipline? Is it not that we would turn around and serve Yahweh? Amos 4:10 or 4:9. I smote you with scorching wind and mildew, and the caterpillar was devouring your many gardens and vineyards, fig trees and olive trees, yet you have not returned to me, declares Yahweh. Is this maybe a little worse than the previous chastisement, especially if we were, you know, adding this on top of the other? Yet the thing that Yahweh wants is the very thing they refused to do time and time again. That is, they refused to repent. Amos 4:10, continuing. I sent plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword, along with your captured horses, and made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Yahweh. I remember giving a message some time ago in which there were a couple of brethren who, or at least one I could tell, was getting upset with the idea that, this nation, for example, could become destitute, could become paupers, that we could actually be living out of cardboard boxes, that it could get that bad. You know, I think it's a natural tendency to want to hear good things. And there is a good message that we'll get out of all of this towards the end. But there are things that we need to know. And one of those things that we need to know is that Yahweh is not mocked. He does want obedience from us. He doesn't want us to turn our backs to him. He loves us enough to try to get our attention by allowing hardship to come upon us. Amos 4:11. I overthrew you as Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand snatched from a blaze. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Yahweh. even extending mercies, they were still disobedient. They still refused. But the chastisement, can get worse. Amos 4 and verse 12. I overthrew you as Elohim. Amos 4:12. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Double emphasis. Prepare to meet your Elohim, O Israel. Remember the phrase, prepare to meet your Maker? It's in a lot of movies. I wonder if this isn't where it came from. And basically what it's saying is, you're a dead man. You're dead. And that's the ultimate penalty, the ultimate chastisement. And the same principle exists for us today, death, and ultimately an eternal death, if we go back. Amos 9, verse 13 through 15. Is Yahweh merciful? Yes, in the end, or maybe it's better said from the beginning, we are told what he is going to do. Amos 9, 13 through 15, behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, when the mountains will drip sweet wine and all the hills will be dissolved. Also, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. I will also plant them in the land, and they will not again be rooted out of their land, which I gave them, says Yahweh, your Elohim. Good news. And, of course, we have talked in the past about Yahweh saving a remnant at the end of the age, bringing them into the kingdom, and fulfilling his promises, his word is not able to be broken, and he's going to do what he says he'll do. So it's encouraging. But we do see some of the bad with the good. The bad if you disobey. The good if you obey. Curses, alternatively, blessings. But it doesn't end here. In fact, there is not going to be an end of joy and happiness for those that repent and do Yahweh's will in his anointed one, Yahshua. It will be the end of chastisements, and it will be the time of blessings forevermore, eternally. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is among men, and he will dwell among them. This is after the thousand-year reign. This is after Yahshua cleans up things and allows things to be purified so that the Ancient of Days can come down. But it says, and he will dwell among them, Yahweh himself, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. He said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Hallelujah. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And we can get in line with that light. We can be the people that he would have us to be. But to do that, we have to be in line with his will. We can't just say, I believe, and expect things to work out. Not unless we put, as was brought out earlier today, unless we put our faith into action, into works, so we can show our faith by our works and actually do what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. It's no mystery or secret, and yet people are just, they're blind. They have had so much tradition poured out on them that they can't see, they can't seem to dig themselves out from the mire that they're in. But whatever situation you're in, good health, bad, financial trouble or wealth, sorrow or happiness, know that Yahweh loves you, and you can turn to him for comfort, for sustenance, for eternal life. filled with joy and happiness, even though we must suffer now. We all go through trials and troubles. Not one of us is exempt. Not one. Sometimes we are brought, sometimes it's brought on by ourselves, and sometimes they come, it seems like, you know, where did this come from? Out of nowhere. How we handle the difficulties of this life and can and will have a direct bearing on how we'll end up in the end. If you feel you're being chastised by Yahweh, then turn to Him. Simple. If you feel that some strange thing is occurring in your life and you just don't understand why, turn to Yahweh and seek His face. And receive peace that passes all understanding, because it's there, and He offers it freely. If you overcome to the end, Yahweh promises blessings forevermore. Understand that His word cannot be broken, that His chastisements are for our own good. Don't turn away from Yahweh when He disciplines you. Remember what the Messiah promised for those that overcome in Him. Revelation 3, verses 21 through 22. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. It's all true. May Yahweh find us doing his will when Yahshua returns. Amen.